just realized I took your pen.
It's okay. This is my new favorite pen. It glides nice.
Yeah. Some pens are
no good.
That
one's too slippery.
I think we've had a talk about this before.
I know. Makes a difference.
It depends on the mood I'm in. Sometimes I like a more slippery pen.
There you go.
You know, sometimes I need more friction.
You see what I mean. It's fine and it's slippery. No good.
Yeah. Where to start today? I'm reading a good book.
Yeah, you showed me.
It's called Ultimate MMA Conditioning
yep.
by Joel Jameson. For anyone who's a trainer that is interested in the conditioning part for athletes, a lot of crossover in how the sport of hockey and the sport of MMA are run. Obviously, MMA, you'll in an amateur fight, it's like 2 or 3 rounds of 3 minutes, I think. And then a pro fight is 5 rounds of 5 minutes.
Yeah, championship one, yes.
Yeah. So obviously it's not exactly the same, but there's a lot of crossover. So it's I'm learning about the different energy systems that you're training from aerobic and then anaerobic, lactic and alactic, which is super interesting. And it's very easy to read. So if you're a trainer, I would recommend it. So he runs through like a bunch of different methods, like actual methods you can implement. It's not just vaguely talking about whatever the topic is. I'm all about the practicality. So I wanted to start on that as a recommendation because I know there's a lot of trainers that listen. So
yep.
That's a good idea. You could take it onto the ice too, actually.
Of course you could.
Yeah.
Yep.
So have a brain about it, but there's a lot of good stuff in there that you could take. My second thing is that we had a lot of good feedback on our Q&A episode last week. Yeah. So I'm getting a lot of people reaching out about it, and people are really liking the question-asking format, which makes sense because then
it's individual to them.
Yeah, and it puts some, because a lot of times we play both sides of topics because there is both sides to play. So when people ask a specific question, then we can give a more curated.
Couldn't tell you.
I think curated answer.
Okay, that's a great
for that
word.
Circumstance. So. Yeah. People that are members, you can fire questions in any time. It doesn't have to be just when I ask. So anytime you want to fire in a question for us to address, feel free to do that. And that's that part. Last thing I'm going to say is about our AAA camps again, because those are coming up. A lot of out-of-towners writing in. We've talked about the contact page several times. So it's starting to get closer. We're about a month away from our first camp, which is for the U10 AAA kids, which is about the youngest we've ever gone ever. So if you're interested in doing that and you're around, you can send us a message through the contact page, not a DM on Instagram. Please and thank you. And then I think that's all I'm going to say. You guys still see all the Blue Star stuff behind me. So if you're interested in that, check it out. For Canada and US, there's two different links in the bio. And I think that's all I have to say. So we had a very good conversation yesterday in set up for today's podcast. I think it was branching a little bit from, you said you were revisiting, well, a couple things. You said you were revisiting that book, The Slight Edge, that we did a podcast about before, and you were thinking about some themes of that book. I had mentioned we were going to kind of do a topic about feeling like you're a victim or feeling like
things
are personal. Which is a good topic. I think we'll still do that.
Yeah.
But you kind of threw a right hook at it, and we took it a little different, a different way. But there is some crossover with that theme.
Sure, there is. Yeah.
I'll save that what I was going to intro with for that topic for the next one. But there's a lot of kids that when they get to that 16-year-old age and it's time to start getting serious about training, they're just missing a little bit, and they don't think too much about it. So I don't know if you want to, I want to talk about the conversation we have with the guys here about the runs, but I don't know if you want to say something before
I go there. Just before that, it was just funny that you mentioned that the other day about the runs, because I've obviously as a coach and being so involved with players, and especially over for the amount of years that I've done it, you see trends, and then obviously having my son right in the middle of things, you're deep in the woods with this thing, right? So you see things, and I was reading the book, The Slight Edge, and it's like basically, you know, like the Coles notes of this thing is like, when you, like, life is not that hard, but the reason it's not hard is because it's easy, and the reason it becomes hard is because it's too easy to be easy.
Nice.
No, so what I mean that is like, it's like if you just understand this one principle is like, do the little mundane habits. And pay attention to them, because the mundane habits are the things that make you successful. And so I was thinking about that as hockey players. It's right. It's like just a real quick example. It's if you get up in the morning, the first thing that you should do, if you didn't pee yet, if that's your first thing, then fine. But the next thing you should be doing every day for longevity, for rehydrating, for everything that's good for your life, is you should chug a glass of water. And if I asked, you know, if people were honest and if we could see people's hands raises, how many people have an 8-ounce glass of water before they do anything in life? There'd be a lot of people that don't do it. And do a lot of people know that that's important? Maybe not, but a lot of people do. So why don't you just have a glass of water? It's too easy. Okay, so it's too easy to do.
Either way.
And it's too easy not to do.
Yeah.
Like, and then the next phase of that is that not doing it, you won't notice. No one else will notice. No one, you don't feel any different. It's nothing really. But, and if you don't do it, or did I say do it? Yeah. And if you don't do it, no one will notice. If you do do it, no one notices. It's just, but it's a habit that's really good. Over time, you've created a habit that you just get up and have a glass of water. So my point is, when you have options, when they're too easy, we kind of neglect them a lot of the times. So it was that. Combined with, as I watch over the years, and particularly over the last couple of years, I've really noticed the difference between when people, players, choose, like, what level they're at with their commitment. And a lot of the times it's the same decision. It's just easy. It's easy to do and easy not to do. And I'm watching players. I'll get into that in a little bit. But anyway, so you were talking about the run the other day.
Yeah. I think it kind of it branched into this topic more, because you were saying yesterday when we were chatting that it's you're really starting to pay attention, or trying to pay attention to and dissecting a little bit reasons why certain guys might make it and certain guys might not. So if we exclude the group that we always exclude of the 1% that they kind of can do whatever they want and they're just so good that it doesn't matter. If we put that group aside and we focus on who are the guys that make it and who are the guys that don't make it, you were pointing out how you don't think most guys don't do enough. They think they're doing enough, but they don't do enough. And the conversation that we had yesterday, like, because I always try to, especially with the workout group, the one workout group that we have in here, we're all pretty tight. So I have tried to implement as much accountability on them as possible without being overbearing and treating them like they're actual professionals, even though maybe that's called for. But so whether it's, you know, checking their weight and body fat every week, meal plan stuff, asking them or sending them texts on the weekends, telling them to do this or that when they're not here. I try to keep as much accountability on that group as possible, because they all say that they want to be professionals. They want to play pro hockey. They want to play in the NHL specifically. And part of the workout program that we have is I'm doing a little bit different this year, where I'm combining the strength program with a speed program. And then we're layering in some conditioning with that as well. But they can't be here with me all the time.
And nor can you be there.
Nor
all the time.
Can I be there. Like, and I don't, I shouldn't need to be
that's
either.
That's the point.
That's the point. So I have, they have their 4 workouts in the gym here every week for now. They have 1 track workout on Wednesdays that I've made optional to this point, and now it's no longer optional. Still, guys don't come every time. And then on Saturdays, I have a conditioning workout that they're supposed to do on their own. So I have, they either do a bike or a 5K run with some specifications that I'm looking for. So I asked them yesterday, and I sent them the texts every Saturday, like a reminder about the 5K, make sure you're doing it, whatever, or the bike, whatever.
Little nudge.
Yeah, little nudge. Just the accountability thing, right? Like, I'm paying attention. Because it's nice to have somebody who's a little bit up your ass sometimes, right? Even though it's annoying, it's nice to have. So I asked them the other day in here, just like, how many of you guys did the run on Saturday? And it was like 1 for 7 or like 2 for 7 or 2 for 8 or whatever. And so we just got into talking about it. And it's like, some of the guys had prom the night before. Some of the guys had to work in the morning. Some of the guys did another activity during the day. They had a skate or whatever. And it's like, there's things that are going to come up, and I'm not saying that you can never have, you can never miss anything, but it's very common that kids will not do those little things when nobody's watching. And maybe it seems like a big thing. Maybe a run seems like a big thing, but it's very common that in a group of our elite, this is the elite. These are Division I players, OHL players, Junior A players, college recruits. Like, these are kids that are the elite of their age group. Still, it's like, you guys are one step away from what you say your goal is, and you can't get up to go for a run on Saturday, or you can't make it to the track. That I said is optional, but like, come to the track, you know? So that, I think that was kind of watered the seed idea that you had of, yeah, of this kind of topic. So I don't know if you want to take off that from there.
Yeah. So I've got a pile of notes, and I'm going to probably look at it just so I keep on track, because I can go all over the place with this thing. And if
I'll tighten you up too, when
you interject, then I could go back to my notes, hopefully. So first thing, when I was trying to put this thing together, this always reminds me of, okay, so you said a thing here that I don't think that people do enough. And I agree 100%. Now the qualifier is, I don't mean you need to get more ice and you need to get more skill developed. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is something else. Okay. So starting this off, I'm just looking at all these players that I train or that I'm in contact with and stuff. And I look at a body type and I say, you didn't do what you were supposed to do. You just look at a body type. And I know that maybe an NHL team said to them, you better tighten it up. Oh, I know that. Right. Or they've given them this direction. And it's like, you're not doing it. Those are the things that I'm talking about. Okay?
And you actually know of players who've been told and still don't do the thing that they've been asked.
All the time.
Yeah.
All the time. So it's that. So that leads me back to probably 2014, 2015, or 2016, when Steve Ott, who's a great NHL player, who's an assistant coach with the St. Louis Blues, I used to train him on the ice, and he used to use our gym. And we were just having a nice conversation one day, and sorry to keep this long because you've heard this a million times, but it's a really good conversation.
It's important,
because it was a good conversation for me, because sometimes we get into just the training part and we don't get to know the people on a good level. So Steve's just a really super nice guy. And even though he goes and licks people's visors on face-offs, but this is the thing, right? This is what made him special. Is he would go to those lengths. So we were having a conversation, and my conversation to him was, Steve, you're not the biggest guy. And we talked about his youth hockey and coming up and stuff like that. And I said, you're not the biggest guy. Like, how did you become like the grind guy, like the rat of the league? Because he was very, very hated throughout the league because he was a rat. And
like a Brad Marchand type.
Yep, very, very much that like was, that. You love to hate him,
parallel,
right?
Yeah.
You love to hate him, but he's on your team. You love to have him. And he said, well, I just grew up and I was a good player and all that stuff. And he goes, but the bottom line is I get to do this because I know that most guys are bluffing. And he goes, like, if someone says to me, I'm going to cross check your teeth out, he goes, I'm fairly certain they won't do anything about it. Right? Talk is cheap. That's not his quote. That's just something I say. Yeah, talk is cheap. He goes, whereas if I say I'm going to two-hand you across the ankles and maybe try to break your ankle, I'm going to do it. And I might not even tell you I'm doing it because talk is cheap. So his quote, he goes, Andy, including people that you're training here, he goes, everybody says that they want it, but do they really? He goes, a lot of guys bluff. So that's the context of his quote. But I use that with my son a lot. Is when it's a very simple quote, right? And he probably said it wrong, but that was his quote. That's how I use it. I use it exactly the way he said it. And I love it. Because, you could always look at a player and know how committed the person is by his actions, not by his words, right? So when I look at players, And the players that I work with are typically some 14-year-olds, but usually 16 to pro are the kids that the players that I work with. And I see trends that happen, right? So anyways, that's the motor behind this thing.
Mm-hmm.
So do you have anything right now?
Well, I think it's important to know. Maybe I want to try to re-say what you said so people fully grasp what exactly Steve meant when he was talking about that. Like, everyone says that they want to be a player. They want to make the NHL. Every kid says that. Everyone that plays junior hockey, everybody says that. But when it comes down to whether or not someone actually wants to, it's kind of what we said before you started with that story. It's like, are you doing those things that those behaviors, those actions that show you're willing to do the thing to get there? Like, that's why it's so hard, right? Like, it's not, if it was easy, everybody would do it. That's another cliche, right? Everybody, it would be easy to do. It'd be like going to school. Everyone's just there. But it's really, really hard. So when people say, oh yeah, I want to play in the NHL, it's like, that's fine. But do you do those things? Do you stick to your guns? Do you stick to your word? Are you committed? Are you disciplined about things? Are you willing to make sacrifices? Are you willing to be uncompromising about your training, about your nutrition, about your sleep? And that doesn't mean you never have an off day, or you never go to bed late, or you are a church boy and never do a wrong thing. That's not what that means. But it just means the vast majority of the time you're being driven by your goal and other things don't matter to you. And that's what that quote, at least to me, that's what that quote means. For me, because when the hard part comes is when, you know, the kids ask you to go to the prom party, or the, you know, the guys are going to the cottage, like you mentioned before, or you have opportunity to not do the thing, or it's just a Saturday and I'm not sitting next to you and you cannot do the run, you know, like those are the things where those are the difference makers. And that's, I think, what Steve is talking about, in addition to, you know, guys doing, you know, sticking to their word. If they say they're going to whack you, they're going to whack you. And those are the kind of things. And if you say, like, I want to make the NHL, that's another one of those things. It's like, okay, are you a bluffer or are you actually serious? Because your actions will let us know.
Yeah, your actions will tell you exactly where you want to end up.
Yeah.
So, so I see a very high percentage of players that do the minimum. What does that mean? Okay, so what I mean is, do they get to the gym? Yep, they get to the gym. Is that good? 100% that's good. Do they do their skill development? Yep. And is that good? It's fantastic. It's good. But to me, that's the minimum. You need to go to a gym. You need to get on the ice a little bit and do some skill development, or like in different parts of the year, it's different levels of skill development or whatever. But like, the gym is the easy part, getting to the gym. Coming to see you or going to see your trainer, that's the easy part. You follow their lead. But so as you're doing your workouts, are you paying attention to it? Are you focused while you're doing the workout? Are you just going through the motions? You know, I see, like, a lot of the times, a lot of times, like, when I'm in here, when the guys are working out, yeah, sometimes I'm just sitting there and pissing around or whatever, but a lot of times I'm just looking just to see those little subtle details, and I see a lot of it. For example, when we do, like, you know, at the end of a whatever set and you have a stretch, and the stretch is like a half-ass stretch, it's like you missed the point. It's that run that you talked about on Saturday. It's like, you're not there now. Why didn't you do the run? Because you're not watching. It's easy just to say no, right? So I look at that, and it's easy to get to the gym. It's easy to go where someone's telling you what to do, and maybe you can hide a little bit, or maybe you're working your ass off, but that's the absolute minimum, okay? So
Let me just hop in for a sec, because I want to just qualify this too, because a lot of people that listen to this have younger kids, and this conversation is mostly in the context of like 16 and older. So, like, don't take what we're saying to your 8-year-old and be like, hey kid, what are you doing today that's going to make you an NHL? Like, that's not really who it's for. Right. Not that that's necessarily bad if the kid just is crazy about hockey. We're not saying that either, but just, this is for like kids that are like 16 and older, when it's time to start taking hockey seriously, 15 around that age and older. That's who this is curated towards. So, curated again, twice.
But, yeah, it's good.
Yeah, I know. But so keep that in mind when you're listening to what we're talking about here, because we're not saying this for your 10-year-old or for your 8-year-old or for your 12-year-old. And if you take this advice and you apply it to your 10-year-old, now you're being the pain in the ass that we always talk about.
Yeah. Right? There's a point where it matters, but then there's also a point where you'll see people see what I mean, that it's all, so part of it would be a good thing if they did adopt the principles.
Right. Of course. Within reason.
They have the initiative to do that, not to being told to. This is all about the initiative. So, like, if we take kids that work out here, okay, it's the perfect scenario. Yeah. You have a great trainer in a facility with ice next door, right, attached to the building. Like a professional skills coach, a training program that's second to none. So we know that based on our results, they can come in here and I know that they can go with anywhere. And if someone was training from Toronto, from Ottawa, from BC, from California, from Sweden, that our kids are going to be in that realm of top shape, guys, because we work on the conditioning, we work on the strength, we work on the gas tank, we work on the mobility, we work on the speed, we work on the eccentrics, the concentrics, and the, like, everything that you can do, everything's taken care of, the mobility, everything. So we know that part. So we know that when we go in there, so far our kids have been more or less injury free. The ones that you can, right? So this is all good stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's good. You go on the ice and you got someone like myself with the best with the best players around, and we're breaking things down for you and your thing. So that's good. This is really good stuff. Is it enough? And this is where I say it's not, because this is where, this is what I call your minimum. So what else would you do besides working out, going for a run, and getting on your skills, you know, shooting pucks? Like, what else? What are you talking about, coach? And this is what I mean. If you just rely on your trainer or your coach to tell you how you should feel or what you should feel or how you should work out, then you're missing the boat, because you should have something inside you that you're dialed in enough to truly want to cover all the bases, and you know your body more than anybody else does. But you might know what you're lacking, or you might know what you're missing. So there's other things that you can do, and it's not more skills. Mm-hmm. It's when you're alone.
Right.
Okay. So this is my point here. So this, you got the 16 to 22 year old window that we're talking about here. This is your time. Like, you get one shot at this. You don't get to fail the business and start over. You don't get to fail a class and start over the next year. You've got, like, you can do that in other fields, right? You can get fired and start somewhere else. But if being the hockey player is what you want to do, you've got one shot only. I'm not saying it's one day or one year, but you have a period of time where you need to get it right, because it closes really, really fast. So do you want to leave your future or your career only in someone else's hands? Like, if you're my trainer, I only listen to Eric, and whatever Eric says is what I do, and I don't do anything else. Well, how do you know how I feel when I'm doing a start or a shot, or if I'm telling a kid, like, I want you to do this, but he's sitting there going, okay, I got to do it this way, and never question it or never try something on his own, or take that skill and apply it outside of this domain, right? So, like, if you do a skill session, let's say, like, it's real simple, we're working on shooting, okay? And we're working on a particular shot. Do you leave that session and say, okay, well, the next session, I wonder what we're going to be doing? Or are you that dialed in to say, okay, I think I got this, but I want to master it, and I'm going to go home and I'm going to do it some more, and I'm going to make sure it's perfect? That's a little bit more dialed in, right? It's like maybe at the end of a workout here, you feel like, okay, yeah, we did some mobility, but I feel like I need to be a little bit more mobile. So why can't I just take that extra stretching part or the dynamic part and just do it on my own? And that's what I'm talking about, is that you know your body and you know maybe what you need more than anything else, and don't just leave it in someone else's hand. Because, hey, dude, you have one shot.
Yeah.
You have one shot.
And so, I think you should know. Like you said, like, you know your body, but I think a lot of kids don't. I think they don't pay attention to it. And I think that's kind of the point too. It's like, you should know. You should take some control over your own development, because exactly what you said, it's like, if you're leaving it up to your coach or your trainer, like, my time is divided, right? I have groups of 10 guys in here at a time, And I can't just focus on Jerv or Jeff or whoever is in here because I have all of you. It's like being in a classroom. Like, the teacher can't give you all the attention. So you need to make up that difference. You need to make up that difference for yourself the best you can. And this is kind of what you're talking about things being the bare minimum. Like, the mobility example, going back to that, like you said, you see guys half-assing the third movement. And it's like, I am here watching you and you're not even dialing into it. So what are you doing when you're not here? And this is what I'm talking, I think kind of what your point is too,
no,
right?
That's exactly my point. And my point to which I think what you're saying too is like the connection of the importance of like you as a trainer is it's we're not just doing the runner's lunge just so we do a runner's lunge. We're doing it for loosening up the hips, the thoracic spine, all that stuff for a reason. And it's important.
So. Yeah. Well, the last part too is like, it's not about one specific thing. Like, I know you're giving some specific examples, but it's not about the one specific thing. It's about the mentality of taking some ownership over your own development. And that's the transition that should be happening from that 16 to 22 area, right? That's kind of where that, when you're 14, 15, you should be starting to get some of that. But from 16 to 22, it's like, this is where you need to take ownership of your own development, because the people that are helping you, unless you're paying somebody $20,000 where it's super individualized and they babysit you and you live there. And it's like I don't know if Gary Roberts does something like that, where you literally like live on campus.
Yeah,
kind of,
yeah.
That kind of idea, right?
Yeah,
you're there all day. Unless it's something like that, where someone is literally spoon feeding you the whole time, there's too much time for you to mess things up. There's too much time for you to get not dialed in. And I know I wanted to get into that idea of the 10,000 hours thing, because people use that as a marker of being an expert, right? You hit 10,000 hours, that's when you're considered an expert. Let's say that's the number. I don't know if that's the number or not, but let's say that's the number. If you hit 10,000 hours of quality practice, then you're going to be an expert. If that's actually the number, we could do the math. We did this yesterday. If we could do the math on how many hours you're actually spending and how long it would take you to get to that 10,000. Oh, I'm going to do it right now. I'm going to get a calculator.
We said it would take 15 years.
Yeah, it would take 15 years. So if you have like, let's right now, our guys, so let's say they do their four workouts. So that's an hour and a half each. And then they do two skates. That's another hour and a half each. And then they do whatever, if they do the track or they do whatever on the Saturday, you're talking about 10, 12 hours, 13 hours a week, right? If you divide that into the year and see how long it takes to get to 10,000, it's almost 15 years.
Yeah. And that's provided you're doing quality work,
so
not just doing stuff.
If it takes you 15 years, that's you're not going to make it. Like, that takes too long.
Well, that's why, so, I'm saying, that's why when you come to a skill session and you say like, we're working on a shot, you can 10 times that by going home and visualizing and doing stuff, thinking about it and working on that skill again.
And
it doesn't have to be for hours. It just has to be concentrated effort.
Right. And I wanted to get into this too, because we were talking about this yesterday. It's like, I know, and I know you know, but I know I'm fresh out of playing hockey. I know what it feels like to go into a session and not have a purpose when you're at that training session. I know what that feels like. And I also know what it feels like to go to a session where you have a specific focus. And I know how much better it feels walking out of that session with a feeling of accomplishment because you worked on the thing you needed to work on, you know? And I found that when I go train at the jiu-jitsu gym, I found that to be exactly what happens. If I show up there and I don't have purpose to what I'm doing, I just get mauled and I walk out feeling like I had a shitty session. But if I take 10 minutes, if I take 20 minutes before I go there, and just say, okay, like, here's a couple things I need to work on. These are a couple things I'm weak at. And no matter what the trainer gives me to work on, because for those sessions, it's like an hour of drilling and then we roll at the end. No matter what we work on in that training session, it doesn't matter. I don't need to know that in advance, because I can focus on what he's telling me while also having a backdoor focus of what I know I need to work on. So we took this to the hockey example yesterday. We're talking about if you need a shot that you need to work on or a specific move you need to work on, you're going to be able to do it at some point during that session within those drills that Coach Andy writes out for you. So are you taking that 10 minutes before you leave to go to the skate or 20 minutes to gather your thoughts to have an actual focus when you go there? Because that session is 10x. It's like orders of magnitude more beneficial to you if you just have a specific thing you want to work on. Because what if like there's a move you're showing that you just can't pick up the first day? you know, and you walk out and you're just like, man, like I really could not figure that out. Well, at least you worked out on this other stuff that you knew you had to work on and got better in that sense, you know? And so it's really, really important that that's a really good practice that you can do as a player or whatever, helping your kid do it if they're younger. It's like, what are we working on today? And I know you used to talk about doing that with Charlie. It's like, what are you working on at practice today?
Yeah,
you know?
there's when you're young, you got to learn these things too, right? You got to learn that stuff. But it's like, and it might sound overboard, but like, hey, man, like, do you everyone says they want it, but do they really? That's the question. Like, okay, so like when you go to a session on the ice, whether it's a scrimmage or a practice or a power skating, whatever it is that you do, you have to set your own intentions because you don't know what I actually need. Or you don't know what the coach that I play for really is barking at me. Or maybe you do, but it's like...
There's 12 guys on the ice.
Yeah, there's 12 guys on the ice and we're doing a stick handling drill. But I can still work every time I start. I can still work on my one thing I want to work on is my quick starts. So every time you start a drill, that could be taken care of like with an intense focus. You change the direction, quick start. Then it could be shooting... What purpose do you have for shooting? Are you just, and this is when you watch a practice, you guys see guys shoot and they miss the net and it's, you know, a shot without real purpose and stuff like that. It's like, okay, so if that was dialed in, then if you had just a random 50 shots in the practice, then you're actually working on it. So it makes a big difference. So, so I've seen, this is just my experience and this is where I'm going to get like fired up here. Okay. So I'm not already. Okay. So I've seen over my years, college and OHL college and pro players. Okay, so here's some examples. Be on the fringe, meaning on the bubble of their team, basically hanging on, not 100% sure if they're going to be making it, and they hope they do. And they come home in the summertime and do not one thing different. What's going to change? Like at the end of that, you want to analyze your game. So that's what I'm talking about extra. You didn't even think about what can I do to be a better player, right? And I'm going to give a whole bunch of things that you can do after. Guys told to work on skating, but they don't work on their skating. Can you believe it?
Well, I know it happens. Yeah, yeah.
But they don't because they you know, like, okay, so why would you work on your skating? Could be you can't afford it, you can't find a trainer. But this is where your initiative takes over. And I'm going to give examples of that after, okay? Or they don't work on some aspect of it. So maybe you can't get on the ice, but maybe you can go to a track and work on speed, right? Like at least, so if you came back and the coach said, what'd you do for your skating? Because it doesn't really look that different. Say, coach, I couldn't get ice. Okay. I live in freaking Hornpain, Ontario. They don't have ice in the summertime. No ice. So I went to the track and I worked on, you know, whatever speed. It's all I could do. Okay, at least you tried. At least I give you that, right? Here's my logbook. Here's what I did, all right? Seen guys asked to be tougher, whatever that means. Could be fighting. Could be...
Engaging,
whatever, and do nothing about it. They didn't buy a punching bag. They didn't decide to get tougher in any way. It's like, okay. Asked to work on quickness, and they do nothing. Like, maybe they don't know what that means, but like it just goes, okay, well, they said that, and I'll just get better. I've seen guys get leaner. They come back to camp in the exact same body. Get big, leaner, faster, stronger as they come back with the same body. So that wasn't really paying attention to, right? And I've seen, I know guys, it's like figure out your identity. Like you have to understand that like you're trying to be something that you're not. Like you have to figure out what you want to be. Because like some coaches will say, go home. You need to figure out that you're going to be a defensive forward. Or a defensive D, or you need to start putting pucks in the net. Understand your identity, and there's no thought to it. And there's things that you can do for that. Okay, so that's that. So you have, again, you have one shot. You don't have 10, 20 years to do this. You got 3, 4, 5 years to figure this out, to actually figure this out, to give yourself a shot. So
yeah, but here's an example that people might be able to understand. So we just started our Sunday league with the junior college guys. So I'm going to post some clips like while we're doing that, just for some social media stuff for people to take a look at. Cause we get to play with some pretty good players that are coming out to skate. And in those games, like I play in those games, right? And if you're just judging on a skill perspective, like skating, shooting, passing, whatever else, I still fit in fine. And these are like, top OHL, Junior A, college, U sports players that are playing out there. And I fit in just fine. I haven't played for 4 years. Five. And that's not saying that I'm so good. I didn't make it. But my skills are the same as theirs or in the ballpark of everyone else.
You're not like, okay, Eric, this is too much. You fit in fine.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So then why I didn't make it and I haven't played and my skills are still in the mix. So it's like, why, how can that possibly happen? Because it's not about the skills. Everyone has a good shot. Everyone can skate. Everybody can make a pass. Everybody can do those things. It's these things that you're talking about. Like, what is your role on this team? You're weak at this one particular thing you're weak at that will make your actual game play better, and you're not doing it. And, you know, we were talking about that yesterday, too. It's like you have an opportunity in this game that we're playing to work on the thing, the feedback that you've got from your, that you've received from your coach or from whoever is helping you at your team. So we have one guy that he's a college player, Division I player, and he's always asking, like, what do you see? Like, what do I need to work on? And it's like, he's listening, but then we watch him in the game and like, he's not doing what his coaches have asked him to do.
Yeah. You know, well, he asked me yesterday, what'd you see in the game? And I said, I didn't watch you that closely. And then I said, hang on though. So your coaches said they want this out of you. So in this aspect of the game, I want this, like tighten it up. So because you can go for a skate, you can have a nice, fun game, but that's defeating the purpose. Right. And like, it might not be as fun. No, I wouldn't even say it that way. Might not be like everybody likes to get a puck when it's not real game. We have refs and stuff and do things that they don't typically do in a game. But what are you and get good at it? So like, if you are the goal scorer, put pucks in the net. If you're a shutdown D, like, and I said this with a midget group that we had, I stopped it and I said, okay, stop. I said, how many guys here are goal scorers? And one guy, the right guy, put his hand up. He said, I'm a goal scorer. I said, okay, so why, guys? And I agree with that statement, but I said, why am I watching a scrimmage where guys in their defensive zone or forechecks are just not giving a rip? That's where you're going to make it. No one's a goal scorer, but yet you're not working on what you should be working on. But I know sometimes people have to be told, but the difference between going in and saying, you know, if I'm a power forward, right, and I go into this scrimmage on the Sunday, and I come in and I'm floating around and I'm not really finishing hits, and I'm not talking about killing people, but the habits, finish the hit and pin, back check hard, get in your D zone and really be hard to play against there, get every puck off the wall, that's your intentions, get shots on net, forecheck like crazy, neutral zone checking, and do it to a T so that you step into your training camp, you've been doing it all summer.
Right.
Not dangling around creating bad habits.
Exactly. That is exactly what happens. Even with this older group, it's a regression to everyone is skill guy again. Everybody wants to do the dangles and whatever because we're not playing full contact. There's a lot of leeway for you to do what you want. And it's fun. And that's cool. Like, it's cool that it's fun. But here's an opportunity where for this particular game that we have, you're not getting a better skate than that all summer. Like, that's the best one you're going to get anywhere. That's your best game-like opportunity to train. So instead of coming into it thinking, I'm going to have fun with my buddies, which you are, instead of that, have an element of thought about, okay, I'm going to use this game situation as an opportunity to actually drill the things that my coaches say I need to work on to get to the next level or to be a go-to guy or whatever. So if it is being a power forward, it's exactly what you said. If you're a guy that, you know, you do a loop-de-loop walk out of the corner and you don't shoot and you hang on to it for an extra 3 seconds, what would your coach say if your coach was here? Shoot the puck. Why are you not shooting that puck? Because you can just hang on to it here.
Yeah, try something. You know? And it's okay to try something, but within the context of your game, I think.
So these are the little things we're talking about. It's like everyone says they want it. And it's like everyone's skills are in the ballpark. So now it's coming time for you to separate yourself with those little things that maybe your coach told you or your trainer's telling you or somebody is giving you feedback on, and you're not taking the opportunity that's here. Especially for our guys that like have the access, like you have the access to the information and the people, and to do it, to have that opportunity and just to not capitalize on it, that's what happens because everyone has the same story. Like all these OHL guys and college guys, everyone has the same story. It's like they were almost there and then they just weren't.
Everyone's almost there.
Yeah.
Right? Everyone almost wins the Stanley Cup. Yeah. Florida didn't last night.
Yeah, exactly.
Never hear about them again.
Yeah.
Right? So my question is like when are you going to do this, guys? Like, if not now, this is your window. If not now, when is it going to take place that you actually dial in and take ownership for your life and the initiative, right? You know, what I do see a lot of is I see a lot of guys never miss a golf game. I mean, you know, the one NHL guy that I worked with that never missed a golf game. He missed a lot of workouts, but he would not miss a golf game. That's, and he played in the NHL, but that career could have been a lot longer. And he's fine. He's fine. Could have been a lot longer, a lot better, but loved his golf. And to me, especially once you get there and you're settled, you're on your second or third contract, and it's like I'm making $4 or $5 million a year. If you want to golf, you're established. That's fine. But like to get there, you want to get your, if you get there, you want to stay there. If you're going to stay there, you want to stay there long enough to make some money. You got to take care of this thing first because it will be over sooner enough. Like I said, if it's not now, when? When are you going to do it? Right? I see a lot of guys never miss a cottage or a party, right? And it's like that stuff is fine. And like to your point, it's not about never going to a cottage. That's not the point at all because there's other things you can do. It's not about never playing golf. It's important that you do go out there and play golf. It is. Like if you like to golf, then golf. If you like to have, you got to do it. But not at the expense of your workouts and stuff like that. So do you work out? Guys work out? Yeah. Yeah. But like I go, you work that type of workout and structured and stuff like that. You're working out, but whatever. That's good. Good for you. Right? So what I'm talking about is what do you do outside your structured and scheduled workouts or structured ice sessions? That's to me where the rubber meets the road. That's where I feel that you're engaged. So I just wrote down actually a lot of things because I think it's important and I'm going to go through them. On your own, do you ever, as a player, sit there and say, I feel like I need to do more or what can I do just to stay on top of everybody else? Like, for example, Dalton Prout, when he played, I remember him talking to us. I think you were there probably, maybe not. He was talking to me about, you know, one guy in particular would say, hey, Dalton, what time are you working out tomorrow? Like it was a question. Like Dalton's a machine. Yeah. And he had to scratch and claw to get there and stay there, right? And he said, 9 o'clock? It's like every other day, man. Oh, okay, yeah, I'm going. Yeah, good. And after the workout, which of course would have been hard, this one guy in particular said, oh, man, I'm bagged. He goes, I'm done for the day. I'm going to go maybe golf after. And that's just killed me. And Dalton would never say a word. He'd just say, yep. And then Dalton had 3 or 4 other things that day. He would have yoga. He would shoot pucks. He would go for a hill run, something like that. And the work ratio was about 4 to 1. And this guy didn't know the difference. Yeah. This guy was bagged and Dalton's like, yeah, okay. And he would, you know, maybe watch video, whatever, right? He did something extra on his own because he had the initiative and the motivation to do it. So do you ever wake up and just say, I'm going to just start. When I get up, I'm going to start doing push-ups and squats. I'm just going to do like 50 and 50 just to start my day, just to wake myself up. That's a thought. That's not going to kill you. It's easy to do, but just to set the tone for the day. Do you ever choose to say, you know what? My speed and power, I think I could do a little bit more. Do you ever think of just like saying, you know what? There's a hill over there. I'm going to do some hill runs. Is it going to kill you? Maybe it will. Maybe it's too much, but I'm saying, do you ever try? Do you ever sit there and say, I feel like I need to have some speed. So you do 15 minutes of hill runs. It's not going to kill you. Not bad. Not bad. It's an idea. I need speed. Maybe that's one way to do it. I'm not saying it's the best. I'm just saying in your head, that's something I think that I might do. I watched Rocky the other day, man. He was running this hill and that looked like something. Like, you see what I mean? Just the motivation that I'm going to do something like that to make me feel good, right? Do you ever sit there and say, you know, I'm going to just, I know I'm doing all this stuff, but I'm just going to start doing yoga or Pilates or a stretching routine every night at 9 o'clock before I go to bed or first thing when I wake up. That's not a bad thing. And that's just taking care of your body, right? Just to keep your mobility. Do you ever decide, hey, I'm going to go every week, I'm going to go or twice a week or whatever. I'm going for a 5K or a 10K run. I might time it, I might not, but I'm going to do it because I believe, and this is just things I'm thinking off the top of my head, I believe that that's going to help me with my, keep my fat off, or it's going to help me last longer on the ice. You know, there's a theory out there, if you do anything like like a that if you do any exercise that a 60-year-old lady can do, then it's probably not good for hockey. But I think something like that, running a 5K, is actually good. Yeah, I'm not saying do it all. That. I'm just saying pick something.
Yeah.
Right? Find something that you think. Do you ever think, hey, you know what? I want to do some more, but I don't want to kill myself out there. But I want to do more something more athletic during the day. Do you ever think of playing pickleball or squash or badminton? Well, what would that do for you? We'll just keep you moving and a lot of quickness in there, hand-eye coordination and stuff like that, right? Do you ever think of buying a punching bag? Might make you learn how to defend yourself, or it might give you a workout, might work your shoulders, it might make you feel like you're tough. I don't know. Just for your internal motivation, like, I don't know. Do you ever think of reading, like, this is another activity that a lot of people never think about, is reading a bio of a player or a coach or someone successful and just see their habits and the way they think, because they probably think a lot different than you. And if you start seeing the habits that come out of people that are successful, or habits, adversities, unfortunate stuff, and maybe their life isn't exactly what you thought. Maybe you thought you had things not going your way, but you all realize that, oh boy, that's nothing. I'm actually being a baby right now, right? Maybe you ever think of just, you know, maybe you're working your ass off, but what else can you do? Like, do you ever think of just sitting there and studying the game? Thrown in a game of yourself and studying your game, or watching someone better than you and saying, that guy does that well, or breaking down a team's way they play so that you can read the game better. Like, those are activities that's what I'm talking about, the motivation outside of someone structuring your events. Study someone better than you and find out why. You ever think, maybe I'm going to be moving away next year? Like, I don't know if they're going to feed me right, so maybe I should learn how to maybe just cook a little bit. Maybe I should learn how to make, at least take care of the basics, and learn how to make a power shake or something like that, just to understand that if something goes south, that you're not sitting there calling skip the dishes every single time because you don't know how to make bacon and eggs or eggs and toast or something like that, right? Maybe in the summertime you could start working on getting good sleep habits. Like, that's a thing. I'm making a decision to go to bed at 10 o'clock and waking up and sleeping really well, right? Working your mind, breathing, mental toughness. Like, that's an area in the summertime where you could really, and during the season, like, you could really take advantage of that, right? Doing something for your mind. Like, it could be breathing for calming you down, to understand how to just relax, refocus. It could be some sort of mental toughness drills where it's, you know, you're studying the art of being present and all those basic things. On, I'm not talking anything crazy, but understanding it, right? And being in the moment. You can do those exercises all day, right? Enjoying and not getting distracted all the time. That would be good. And then another side of that is, on a mental toughness aspect, is do something hard just because it's hard, and to see if you can grind through it. So, like, whatever, find something. Maybe it's a mountain biking thing, or I don't know.
A challenge. Find a challenge. David Goggins challenge.
Yeah, do a Tough Mudder, anything like that. Yeah, like on my 50th, I did the 10 push-up or 10 burpees for every year, 500. That wasn't easy. And it was actually a mental toughness, because what happened in that thing, and it's not the toughest thing in the world, but it's at 50 years old, doing 500 straight burpees is hard. So what I had to do in that is, like, actually, I'll talk about that for a second. It's like, when I did that, you were here watching it and laughing, but I said it, and I set blocks. I said, how am I going to attack this? Because I know I can't just do 500. So how am I going to attack that? I said, okay, 10 sets of I laid out the blocks of 10. 10 sets of 50 laid out in tens, right? So a block of 50. So I said, the first one, I said, okay, the first set, I'm like, I'm going to just try to bang out 50 right away just to get ahead of the game a bit. And I was up in my 20s. I'm like, okay, this is going to kill me. So I stuck to the 10, take a breather, 10, take a breather. And what happened was, once I was going through the first block of 50 or 100, first block of 100, I was sitting there going, oh boy, this is tough. I don't even know if I'm going to last. And then I was like, okay, we'll just get through the next block. And that's what I said. Let's just get to the next freaking block. It wasn't, so you're not looking only at the end. You're just looking at the next thing. And that is what kind of kept me going. And then once I started paying attention, once I got over halfway there, I'm like, okay, that's half. It's just the next block. And then I started seeing it going down to, okay, you only have 100 more. You can do 100 now. And it was like an exercise in mental toughness. And I actually used that several times to say, like, when I'm doing something that I want to get done, it's like, just focus on this right now and just do the thing. Just do the thing right now. And it's actually a great thing to do for someone to learn how to learn some mental toughness. So, and then just maybe something else, you know, you've got a net at home. Maybe you just say every night for the rest of the night, for the rest of the summer, I'm going to go to my net and I'm going to shoot X amount of pucks. No, I'm going to pick one spot on the net. It's just an example. I'm going to pick bottom left corner. I'm going to try to shoot where the goalie's heel of the stick would be, because that's a goal scoring area. And I'm going to hit that from different angles. But I do not leave the driveway or the basement or my shooting pad until I get 20 in a row or 50 in a row. I will not leave. And there's another exercise in mental toughness, but you're doing something with hockey. But like, I'm not saying go do this. What I'm saying is do something more than the other guy. Do something because you're motivated to be better. Do something to make yourself better. And I think if it keeps you in the game without doing anything ridiculous. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. Well, and it works. That's the other part. 100%. Like you do it, it actually works. So I want to go back to kind of talking about guys doing the minimum and kind of the structure of having workouts set for you by a trainer or having your skill sessions set by a trainer. If you're 16 to 22, that age we're talking about, and you, like you're saying, you go to the gym and you have your trainer and you have your skills coach, it's like, that is baseline. That is not, that is almost not considered the training part, because everyone is just doing it already. There's no edge you're gaining than by just showing up for the minimum thing. So if you play junior, you're going to play with guys that don't do that. And it's going to seem like I'm doing way more than these guys. But because of how much it funnels from junior to college to pro levels, whatever, you're not competing against the guy that doesn't do the bare minimum. You're competing against the guys that all do the bare minimum and then some.
Well, all do the minimum that at this camp you're at are the best in their country that were drafted in the first, second, or third round, or their invites, mm-hmm. and played in whatever league, whatever Swedish pro league, that their training is off the charts. That they come in and they look like bone racks, but their gas tank never ends, and that you go, oh.
Right. Well, let's take
don't be shocked.
take the NHL combine, right? Everyone that's at the NHL combine, you think they don't train 4 times a week, times a week, 6 times? Everyone does.
No, most.
Most. Unless you're the 1% guy that you're not who we're talking about. The vast majority of those guys that are being recruited by NHL teams, they have an off-season workout routine that they're doing. They have a program that they're following. I guarantee you 90% of the guys that are there have that. Very rare that you'd have a guy at 18 years old that doesn't follow an off-season training program. That's who you compete against. You don't compete against the fourth line guy that's barely making the OHL or that barely can hang on to a spot on a junior team. That's not who you're comparing to. Again, if you say, I want to play in the NHL, everybody wants it. Everybody wants that. So now you're taking your minimum, your baseline. This is what baseline is. You have your 4 to 6 workouts a week and 2, 3, 4 skates a week. And then that ratio changes through the summer. Everybody's doing that. Everyone. So if you want to get an edge in some way, then all those things, that the stuff that you just listed, that's where you're going to find it. That's where you find the edge. And I remember, I have just one anecdote for myself, is my going into my 18-year-old year when it was like the NCAA commitment years. I did what you said with the shooting. I used to take my dad's van. I had my license now. I would take my dad's van and I'd put 2 pieces of plywood in the back and I put the net on top of the van and I would drive it to the baseball diamond and rip pucks. Because if I did it in my driveway, I didn't have a place to shoot. So that's what I would do. I went to the hardware store with my dad. He brought me, got 2 pieces of plywood that had a finish on it so I could shoot. And we brought the net and we would go there with a bucket of pucks. My dad came sometimes to help me. Sometimes I would just drive and go there myself and do it. And that next season, I had almost 40 goals that season. And that was the year that I was getting the most attention I ever got in my life of from an NCAA schools, OHL teams, and that was the best year of hockey for me when I was doing all of those things in the off season, you know. And it was the extras. It wasn't going to the gym that made the difference, because I had been going to the gym.
You have to go to the gym anyways.
I know, I had been going to the gym, and I continued to go to the gym. I was skating with you. I was skating with the junior guys, the pro guys, whatever, when you had those skates. I was doing all that stuff. That wasn't where I found the difference. I found the difference in doing
what you needed.
Stuff.
In what you needed.
Right. And it still wasn't enough.
Dude.
That's the other part.
As you're
right?
talking about this, it's like when you start comparing who you are going to be competing with, is like the best player in the world, Sidney Crosby. I don't know the guy. I actually don't know what he does in a day, but I know that he works out as hard as anybody that comes here. And I also know that his diet is probably dialed in better than most people. So there's one advantage. That's one thing he's thinking about, is eating properly. I'm sure he's doing other things. Jaromir Jagr, for example, he had that initiative. Like, he didn't think he would be at the ice all the time. He had his own routine because he didn't like what his own coaches were doing ever. And maybe he was nuts, but he was one of the longest ever playing pro hockey. So something worked there. Maybe that's crazy, but that proves the point.
Yeah.
He's just a machine, but this guy would work out every day and he'd get on the ice every day. That's what he needed to feel good. He knew what he needed. And it's just like to your point, when I was a kid, I did things like my brothers and I would say, okay, let's go for a run. Middle of the night, not middle of the night, not 2 a.m, but we'd be sitting around the house and go for a run. Well, with two brothers, you don't want to say, well, I don't feel like it. Go for a run. Might be a 20-minute, might be 40-minute, whatever. Go for a run. The one couple years, I found these sand dunes in Sudbury. Like, they're just like rock piles, basically, but there's the sand part. I found them and I started running them. And then after a couple of years, someone told me like that you could have like a sand avalanche. Eh? Oh, I'd be dead. but that's what I felt like when I was doing it in my head. I was, and this is what the beautiful thing about when you're doing the stuff on your own. Like, you do it at the gym too. When you do stuff on your own, it's you. It's you against whatever, but it's in your head. You have a picture of what you're doing it for. Could be wrong. For me, it was like I was doing these hills and I was like rocky and I was just, whatever it was like inside. I felt my legs were just getting strong. My lungs were getting expanded. And that's what I felt like. I'm like just a machine when I did that. And whether it was right or wrong, I chose to do that because I felt that's what I needed. And that's, these are the points I'm talking about, is stepping away from the structured stuff and doing something that you feel is going to be beneficial. And you have to, I really believe you have to have that motivation, because you're probably not Connor McDavid, but he works his ass off. You're probably not Sidney Crosby, who works his ass off. So it's like you have to put the time in, but away from it is where I think you really get some huge benefits. And, you know, the one thing, though, that I can probably get, will probably get some push back is, in fact, one NHL scout told me, one suggestion is like, kids have to just step away and not beat themselves up. Like, step away from the game and get your mind away from it a bit. And that's true to a point, right? To a point, because if you're away from the game mentally, like, I mean, that's where your relaxation stuff, golfing and all that stuff comes in. You need to step away. But I am of the opposite point of view, is that if you got this window of time to become everything you want to be in the game, I don't think it's a really good idea to be stepping away and just be easy on yourself. You know, it doesn't mean going out to every mindless skills session. That's not what that means, but it means finding the thing that you feel is going to make you better. Yep. And I really, truly believe that is a big difference maker, not only just for hockey, but for your life.
Well, I think the break, speaking to the break point, it's, you need a break. I make our guys not, like, I don't let them come here for the 2 weeks when they're done. But the point is not that you're packing it in and totally pissing off for 2 weeks. It's like, this is actually part of the plan. Part of the plan is the break. So you're breaking in the context of still that helping you get towards your goal. It's not a break and like, we don't care what happens for the next 2 weeks. It's still just like, yeah, I'm taking this 2-week break knowing that in 2 weeks I'm starting my plan again. So it's not just, it's totally out of sight, out of mind, even though we talk about it in terms of out of sight, out of mind. So you get the break, right? That's so it's a fine line there between you're just doing negative things for 2 weeks versus you're doing an intentional plan break that is actually going to help you later.
For sure.
So that's kind of where the difference comes in. Yeah. And I think that's the,
you just don't want to make that 2 months.
Yeah. You know, it's not a 2 month break. Exactly. Right. But it's with purpose. That's the whole point of all this stuff, right? You're doing the thing with purpose. So that's the one part of it. The break is part of the plan. The other thing I was going to say is when you implement any of these extra things, like you didn't just mention physical things either, right? There's a lot of mental things. There's things about nutrition, things about studying the game. You mentioned a lot of things.
Visualize for 30 minutes a day. Play a hockey game in your head. Play your best shifts ever in your head.
Right. So when you do any of these habits, whether it's a physical thing or not, the change is going to come slow. Like it's not going to come overnight. And that's the difficult thing to wrap your head around when you're a teenager, when you're into your 20s. It's like time frames. You have a hard time gauging time when you're that age. Because, I mean, when you're a little kid, how long did summer vacation feel? It's like 2 months, man. That's not a long time, right? But it felt like forever. Summer break felt like it was forever. But slowly you start to realize like the time actually goes by pretty quick, you know? So when you're making those changes, it could feel like it's not happening that quickly, but a year goes by like that. And if you implement a good habit for a year, that's going to be radical changes. Like I was talking to a kid last night when they were leaving because they were asking me about sleep. And the one kid was like, yeah, if I'm being honest, like I'll probably go to sleep around like 2 a.m. because I don't have to get up until like 11 to go to school or whatever. And I was talking to him about why that's not good, which to me is obvious. And he knows it's not good, but he doesn't necessarily know why. And he doesn't necessarily know how to fix it. So I'm giving him some suggestions of like solving the problem. At the end of the day, he has to want to solve the problem, but it won't be because he didn't have ideas of things that he could do. So I was telling him, I was like, phone, other side of the room. Like not look, if you need to use it as your alarm,
easy
fine.
To do.
Yeah, easy to do, easy to not do, right? You plug 100%. It in on the other side of the room, you need your alarm, that's fine. That's what I do. I have my phone in my bedroom, but I plug it in across the room so that I have the alarm. So that's fine, do that. And he says, well, if I don't have my phone, then it takes me longer to fall asleep. It's like then I'm just sitting there and my brain is spinning and I don't know what to do. I'm like, okay, then replace the habit with something else. Read something. I don't like reading. Okay, find something that you like to read. You don't not like reading. I've talked about this before. When you go to a restaurant and read the menu, you don't hate reading, right? It's like you don't hate
that. You're
excited
about it.
It's what you're reading.
Bacon and cheese.
See, right? Is that not true, though? So if I'm reading the menu at a restaurant, I like reading that. You don't not like it.
Read an article on yourself, you'll probably be anxious to read.
Exactly. You know, so find something you like to read. But fine, even if you don't like that. Then he's like, my brain just spins. I'm like, okay, keep a notepad next to your bed. And anytime you have an idea that pops in your head, write it. And then put the notepad back down and see if that gets you to go to sleep. Like there's things you can do to fix the problem. But it's not going to be like all of a sudden tomorrow you're going to fall asleep early now because you put your phone down and that's a better habit. It's like, no, the change is slow and painful. That's what change is when you're doing a new habit. It's going to be slow and painful. But again, back to the theme of the podcast today. It's like if everybody says they want it. Now when it comes down to a thing you actually need to do that's easy to do or easy not to do, are you willing to do it, right? Are you willing to make that change and to force yourself into a better habit? And that's where the money is, man. That's where the money is, those changes.
The thing is, if you do it, if you've got that base skill, like let's say you are in the OHL or you're getting a scholarship or you're in the scholarship mode or you're in the American Hockey League or in the NHL or whatever, the moments that seem like they're really hard, and this is that, you know, this is, some people are going to say, whatever, man. Like, yeah, I hear this all the time, but this is just the truth. The thing is, in 3 years or 5 years, if you make it, which if you decide to do it, you get as close as you ever can. I'm not saying my kid, any kid, that you have the base level of talent, you do the work, and you miss this here or there to do what you have to do to take care of yourself. Those guys are calling on a Thursday and they're bugging you all week to go out on a Friday night and you have priorities. Well, in a few years, you might be calling them on a Wednesday morning to say, hey, I'm home for the summer. You want to go golfing Wednesday? And guess what? You won't have any friends. Those friends won't be around because they're going to be working. So that's the payoff. And it's seriously the payoff. And before I go into the next thing, I want to talk about you for a second because you said something about how... things are delayed. It doesn't happen all at once. Okay. You're the king of this, by the way. No. This is probably one of the biggest compliments I could give you. Like, because I see it on a daily level. Like, and I'm going to get to that in a second. But so let's go back to all these different habits. Like, the easy thing to do is to get into your skill session and come to your workout and go home. That's the easy part. It really is. That's the easiest part. The hard part is to make decisions to fix things that, you know, it's taking that water first thing in the morning. It's going to bed at a decent time. And then everything in between to make those decisions to find something within yourself that you feel is going to enhance your game. Video, breathing, whatever it is. I just gave a bunch of examples that I feel are just very simple if you're engaged. And it's easy. The reason that we don't do it or we don't consistently do it is because it's just too easy to do. It's too easy to sit at home and just pull out a mat and do yoga. It's just too easy. It's 15 minutes and it'll actually feel good. It's just too easy to do. It's just too easy not to do. Like, it's just, it's a decision that it's, and the next thing part about it is it's insignificant when you do it. When you do it that first day or that first week, you will not see one result and no one else will see the results. It doesn't. So it's like almost like, who cares? No one's going to know and I'm not going to know. And I've done it for a week and I don't see anything. But the point is, as you said, it's long term and it's long term doing things consistently for a long time. So when I said that you're the king of this, and I mean that from, it's some days I sit there and I just want to tell you, okay, off.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
Because, and this is a huge compliment because like it goes with like one example is the podcast, right? Because you're opposite of me in a lot of ways. I'm like, okay, let's go. And you're like, okay, but we can't just go. We have to have a plan and we have to do little habits for a long period of time. And it's like, I know, but it's like, you're very good at sticking to it no matter what. And if you have something in your schedule that says, okay, at this time I have to do this, like there's nothing else that gets in the way. You just do that, which is a huge compliment. So I've watched you do that through school. I've watched you organize school hockey and work. I've watched you do it all like to a T and get results. So like as busy as you ever were, you still managed to get the things done because you wanted to get it done and you're a motivated guy, whatever, and all that shit. But the thing that I think is really interesting is from watching you is how you've studied, like you've really studied the diet, nutrition, the fitness and all that stuff, but to see it, you apply it to yourself. Cause it's one thing to tell people, it's another thing to do it yourself, to be the example. And when I watched you doing, okay, hey, Andy, I'm going to go 15 pounds heavy. I'm going to just freaking get huge. All right. And then I just saw you eat every day and do the work and those workouts and you stuck to it. To the point where you said, okay, I did it, but it didn't happen to your point where people get really frustrated. It didn't happen in a week or 2 weeks or even a month. You set the plan to do it intelligently for 3 months, which is a pain in the ass because things don't change. So you did it for 3 months, got your goal, and you said, okay, now I'm going to go the other way and get shredded. And then I was watching you change your eating, change the workouts, and fight through the times where you're sitting there, oh, just a little hungry now. Like, I just want to eat something. And it's like, that's a mental screw. That's screwing with your head. But I saw you go through it. And it's like, that's impressive. But, and I'm sure you would say, it's like, it's just simple decisions. That's all it is.
It's like a skill.
It's a skill.
That's what it is. Because you can, and you start with small things. Like, that's the other thing. Like, I remember being the age of the guys we're talking about. Where it was, I had good intentions on a lot of things, and that gets to a question I was going to ask you about in a minute. But like, I had a brain. I always had a brain to analyze things and think about things, so that was helpful. But I didn't just come out of the chute with all of this ability to just stick to what I'm saying and delay the gratification and to just fight it. It started with little things. It started with like, okay, like the one summer I I did. You remember watching me die through that, where it was like, no matter what, I was waking up at 5 a.m. the whole summer.
Like, I'm the earliest guy in the world.
Yeah.
I'm the earliest guy in the world. Just so everybody knows, if you think you get up early, I'm earlier.
Yeah.
I'm actually here. Like, it's very, very rare. It's never happened where it comes out and there's the sun's out. Ever.
Yeah.
It's always dark. I walk in here and it's dark. And that summer, you were beating me here, or we were getting here at the same time. But a lot of times you were already in a half your workout done because you had to get it done before 5:30.
Yeah, before 5:30, it had to be done.
And then you take your 3 second cold shower and get out of here.
Yeah,
see it, Parker?
Yeah, exactly. and it's so it's an that was extreme, but that was one of the moments, like, or not, it wasn't a moment, it was a summer, but that was like a time for me where a lot of these things that we're talking about, I learned those things. Like, it taught me a lot of those things because I just decided to stick to a thing that I knew would be good for me. And it's like, I'm not Elon Musk here, man. It's like, it's not that I did this and now I'm a billionaire and I'm like the best and I achieved everything that I've ever wanted to achieve. It's not about that. It's just, I'm a lot better off having done that, you know? And it's not about, if you do this, I'm guaranteeing you're going to be in the NHL. It's just, if you do it, you'll be better off than you would have been, you know? And there's an element too, like, because a lot of times we talk about not doing too much or not overdoing it. And I find a lot of guys in that 16 to 22, they get scared of doing too much or they're worried about overdoing or whatever. And it's like, you don't even know how to do the minimum.
Well, that's my
man.
Thing is, like, because a lot of people say, you know, you got to rest, recover. And that's true, but do something to rest and do something to recover.
Exactly.
Like, there's, and then if you do it, if you actually are exerting yourself, and even mentally exerting yourself, when you hit the fart sack at night, you won't be looking at your phone. You're gonna put the phone down. You're gonna crash. You're gonna saw some logs for about 8 to 10 hours, and then you're gonna get up, and it's like, okay, now I know what it's like to have a recovery sleep.
Yeah, exactly.
Or to work hard again, right?
Yeah, and so it starts with those little things. And I remember, like, one thing I was gonna ask you too is like it takes maturity to be able to do that, and I think just for myself personally, just from what you were talking about, like that ability to do that, even when I was in junior or when I didn't do it the way I do now, obviously, but I still had elements of being able to do that. And I think it's not just because I was the most mature kid, because I wasn't. I had a good environment starting with my parents when I was a kid that they instilled these things in me where I understood the concept of delayed gratification. I understood the idea of sticking to it. I understood the idea or the value of sacrificing things for a better thing later. And those were things that they helped to bake into me when I was young before I could even act on it or knew what to do with it. You know, and they just had I don't know how they even did it with my parents, but they had just such a good balance of, it was almost like a good cop, bad cop thing where, like, my mom was always good cop, my dad was almost always bad cop. And it was just, from both sides, they taught me so many valuable lessons. And like you had mentioned in a podcast before, my dad had gone through it with music and whatever, so he had some lessons to teach me on it. But my point of bringing that up is that a lot of kids don't know the information, man. They don't know these things. And this is where the role of parents can start to come in, or a good coach or a good mentor, because kids need to hear this stuff. And like the vast majority of the audience that we have on the podcast, I think like 60% are parents. So it's not this message we're talking about is not getting direct to the kids. Like, you guys are the ones that have to hand the baton, because if I don't have the kid in here where I can talk to them directly, how are they going to get the information? The likelihood of them just stumbling across it is not very likely, let alone stumbling across it and then thinking to apply it to their situation. So it might sound like we're giving this group of kids shit for not paying more attention, but for a lot of them, they don't have the guidance. You know, we were talking to guards in here the other day, and he was saying the same thing. He's like, I would work my ass off, but just no one told me which things I should work my ass off in. Like, nobody gave me any advice on how to do that properly.
Well, we're talking about the Breakfast Club, right?
Yeah.
So that's what, you know, my kid's going to be able to be in the Breakfast Club next year because he's going to be done school. So you think about that, right? This is your advantage now. Okay. So Garzy was here. He played for the Ottawa 67s. He works for us. And he just walked into the conversation. I said, you know, because we're talking about this exact thing. I said, now the difference is it's your advantage. So what the Breakfast Club means, you don't go in school. and the teams get you to the rink in the morning to work out, skate.
For guys that graduated high school already.
Yeah. It's a skate, and it's an advantage. Like, and I think a lot of the teams, it's just because they don't want you sleeping in until 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And get there and don't really, because I know coaches too. They get in here and I just get you out of bed and like screw off. I'm not really here to help you. That's some teams, but this is your advantage now, and this is your time where you can take your game. For someone that's in the breakfast club, you could take your game from where it is and actually 10 times it, because it could be an hour a day on the ice where you can just maybe working shooting. Peeling pills off the wall, tips, like the little things, like maybe edge work or quick start, whatever. But then the next phase is that you have the time in the day to actually do a workout. Now, I'm not talking about the workouts we do in the summertime. We're talking about maintaining your strength. So maintaining your strength in a hockey season is simply like finding out your game days and doing whatever workouts when you have strength coaches that can help you and actually do them. Like your 2 to 3 sets of like fairly heavy work that's not going to tax your body, actually primes your body. It'll keep your body in shape and maintain your muscle mass the best you can in a hockey season. And you're actually going to get not necessarily stronger, but you're going to maintain strength.
Huge.
That is so huge.
Huge.
Right?
Yeah.
And so, but I already know what happens because I was there and I know players. What happens is this is the decision is Eric and you and I are in the breakfast club and you're dialed in, right? You're going to take advantage of this thing. And we're buddies. You and I and Guardsy are buddies, right? Can't wait to get the rink. We're going to piss around too. Make no bones about it. We're going to tiptoe around this one. We're going to have some fun, right? But as we get to the rink, as we're going there and I go, man, I can't wait to go to, the breakfast joint after, and you're like, oh yeah, it'll be great. Okay, let's get out going. And I go, well, let's just get the hell out of here. We get some, go grab some breakfast and piss around for a while. And this is what happens. You go to the rink and you don't do the work. You didn't take advantage of that. You didn't take advantage of the workout, which will take you 20 minutes with a warm up, half an hour. And you miss that opportunity. And then we go out after breakfast, go have a nap, or we go piss around somewhere else, do a public appearance, whatever it is. And we come back to practice after, and we're meeting the kids that are going to high school, and we didn't take advantage of our advantage. And this is what happens. So this is why if you learn to do things on your own, and you're going to be a different, like trust me, you're different when you are actually dialed in. Because it's the old crabs trying to bring it down, right? It's hard to find guys that are actually dialed in. That's why, you know, who you hang out with is really important. But when you get a group of guys, like you want to have, you know, Dalton Prout said the best thing to Charlie. He goes, when you go to camp, find the fattest guy on the team and never hang out with him.
Yeah. Seriously.
Well, because he's going for breakfast.
100%, man.
He's going to do this. So you can dial in your nutrition and all that stuff, and you can take you're treating your life like a pro now, and it's at 18 years old. This is awesome. Right? And it's a difference maker. And this is, you know, but what happens is kids are going to hear this. They're going to say, yeah, this is my advantage. But everything's easy to do and easy not to do. Everything's easy on paper. Right? Everyone has a plan to get punched in the face. Right? This is what happens is you got to be strong enough to say, okay, I've got to go to the rink at 10 o'clock every morning. This is my time. I've got an hour and a half to do my thing. After that, I can piss off a little bit. And that's fair. That's fair, right? Yeah.
Well, I know the mentality, man. I just remember it so clearly. It's like, if you miss one workout, it actually doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter, man.
It actually doesn't matter.
Doesn't
like,
matter.
It's not even, no, it really does matter. No, it actually doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
You miss a leg day, it doesn't matter. If you miss two leg days, it doesn't matter. But now that's 2 weeks of progress that you don't get. If you miss three leg days in a row, okay, now that matters, you know? And so... So what happens is kids, they sporadically miss things where it's maybe never the same thing. Like, let's say I'm not going to do my 5K on Saturday. They miss it once. Then the next week, they do their 5K, but they missed their mobility day. And then the next week, they do their mobility and their 5K, but they couldn't make it to the Thursday lift. And so now it's like they didn't they're not, it's not one thing that they're always missing, but they're always missing one thing, you know? So it's like the rule of thumb that I give the guys is like, you're allowed to miss a day if you never miss a day. You know, if you're always missing days, then you're not allowed to miss a day. It bugs me if you miss, because you always miss, you know? And that's, I think, more the mentality or the track that kids can get down. It's like, oh, the buddies are asking to go out to do this on Friday night. I got to run Saturday, but whatever. Like, if I feel good enough Saturday, I'll do it. And if not, then I won't. It's like, you already lost. You already lost if that's the mentality, yeah. You know?
Well, dude, no one, I don't think, I mean, I'm being honest here. I don't think people go through life and say, when I'm about in my 40s to 50, what I'm shooting for is to have my arteries plugged, like about 98% plugged, so I have a hard time moving, and be 50 to 80 pounds overweight. I don't think anyone says that's what I want to be. How it happens is the decisions we made here is maybe you were a walker and you decided to skip the walk. No big deal, right? And then you went for the cheeseburger at lunch instead of just something light. No big deal. It doesn't notice. But that habit over time, of then you don't walk ever. And then you come home from work and don't do much. And then you're eating shit food all the time. And then you sit there at 45 or 50 years old and, you know, your pants make you look fat. Your trousers make you look fat.
Your trousers.
And the doctor says, dude, you got to get, like, this is serious now. Or they put the stent in because you just simply didn't. You took little habits and made it go. That's how it gets out of hand. No one has the intention of being an artery plugged guy that looks 10 years older than he is and, you know, gets up and walks to the fridge and is out of breath. That's not, there's no intention of that. It's not an accident. It's bad decisions. And I'm not saying you're bad people, because I have my thing. You have, everyone's got their things. It's being aware of it, but it's like having habits that, and no one goes through life saying, you know what, but when I'm 55 or 70 years old, I'm going to be broke. I'm just going to spend everything while I get there, because that's a good idea. No one intends that. What people do is they don't save the money, or they don't put money away, or they make bad business decisions, or, you know, like sometimes it is bad luck or whatever, but the intention is not to, or they didn't pay attention to the details, but the intention is not to be 70 and working your nuts off. The intention is to, like, kind of have a nice life and have everything paid off, but that's not the way it always works. So it's not because you choose that, it's because you make decisions that weren't the best, or some unfortunate luck and you didn't know how to rebound, or whatever it is. This is, and so it's the same thing as hockey. Things can just, I didn't do this, I didn't feel like whatever. So my thing now, I don't know if you've noticed, but I think you have, is I just wanted to do something else. Because I'm in a weird place in life. I'm 54. I'm fit, but I'm not happy about my fitness. Does that make sense? Like, there's things. And I know, so I'm tightening up a couple little things, and I feel great, but I decided I'm just going to start walking more. And it's so boring. No, it's actually relaxing, but it's like, it's easy to do, easy not to do. It's easy to sit here, because I do have a little bit of time that I can do it. So I've been going for a little bit of walks. So some have been an hour, hour and a half, some are 15, some are 30, but it's like just getting in the habits. And it's like, it's a perfect example of this. It's easy to do, easy not to do. Like, and trust me, like, this is so earth shattering here. Going for a 20 minute walk is not hard at all. In fact, like, why aren't you? Like, why isn't someone going for a 20 minute walk instead of just sitting there pissing around? Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I got two quick things and then we can get out of here. Yeah. The first is, yeah, I know, unless we just keep yapping. The first thing is that for the kids in that range we're talking about, even younger too, even older, even parents actually, it's always the FOMO. That's what makes the little decisions leaning towards the bad end of it a lot more enticing, because you think you're going to miss something. And even where I'm at now, and I mean, to be fair, I'm not the most social creature anyways. Like, I default to liking my time alone anyways, which a lot of people aren't like that. So maybe that's a inherent advantage that I have. But even with my own friends, even with my own family, but particularly with my friends, it's like, I will skip things on purpose because I want to keep my decision making on the right track. And that is generally why I will elect to not do something over another thing. So as an example, my Christine asked me yesterday, she's like, I'm thinking about having our friends over Friday. Like, are you down for that? Or like, whatever. Been like super busy last few weekends. We got a lot of things coming up. We've had a lot of things the last few weekends. I'm like, honestly, for no other reason than I just want a break so that I can get to bed at a good time and have a good, like, more on track weekend with my sleeping, with my eating. I would like to not do that. And I no longer have FOMO. That's not a thing that I ever really get. Some people have it, but the thing that I've come to realize, and the reason I'm using that as an example, is for kids that are younger, is there's always another opportunity to have the social thing. So if you miss this one, it's not going to be the end of your life. Your friends are not going to no longer be friends with you. You're not going to all of a sudden be alone for the rest of time because you missed the party or you missed one thing. You're going to have a million things that are just like that with the same people that are your buddies that you could always go to. So if you miss 3 of 4, you go to the one a month where you're participating with the group, you're going to get all of the benefit of the social without the negative of throwing you off track and trying to keep your life in a good place, you know, or trying to maybe your life in a good place for more for adults, but trying to achieve your goal more for the younger guys. You know, there's always going to be another thing. You're going to have the next one.
Yeah.
You know,
well, so am I cutting you off?
No, go ahead.
So just on that point, 100%. And the thing is like all these things we do, and this is why I think it's another very, very important piece to stick to your schedules and add, like I said. So for example, Charlie has a couple other things that he does that no one else does, right? And it's not because he's so great. It's just, this is what he needs for his life. So he does it, right? And shit comes up. So if that's why it's okay to have extra stuff, because for example, one week it was a school thing, missed a workout. Okay, no big deal. This week it was, what was it, Monday? Sick as a dog. He woke up at 3 a.m. and puked for basically 12 hours. So he missed a workout. Today, which is 2 days after, he's getting his driver's license, going to miss a workout and a skate. So take that plus fear of missing out. Well, I'll just go to this party and maybe you're not good the next day. And you add, every time you add something in. So what happens is, if you, I'm just going to use a stupid example, in a 90-day period, let's say you've got 65 to 70 workouts booked. Okay. That's your schedule. You guaranteed you're missing one for some reason, yeah. Right? As a kid, maybe, you know, whatever reason you miss at least one. Then then if you make bad decisions here and there, or not bad, you're not at your best at your workouts, or you decide to go to a cottage, or you decide to go to someone's party or whatever, then there's another one or two or three or four. So that 60 or the 70 to 60 workouts become 50 to 60, and it's a huge gap. So not only is it good to have it doing more, because on days there's things that happen, you might get injured, you might get sick, someone can't get you a ride, whatever it is, things come up. So if you only rely on you training me and I can't get to the gym, now what? Am I smart enough and motivated and have the initiative enough to say, well, I can go to the football field, grab a kettlebell, and I could run one way, do some push-ups, come jog the other way, and do 20 kettlebell swings, and then do some lunge jumps. You got a brain mm-hmm. and some motivation.
Well, because the other part of that too is, it's not even about the ones you miss. It's about that it affects subsequent workouts anyways. So if you go to the party on Friday and you had 10 beers and you missed your workout Saturday, it's like, yeah, you missed your workout Saturday, but that's a 3-day recovery, man. Your body's not back to baseline for 3 days. So not only have you missed the workout, you've also missed 2 more days of progress after that. So you've taken now one workout that you've missed on paper, and you've turned that into 4 days of negative progress. So you need 4 days to get back to baseline. And so really, it's not a 1-for-1 deal either, right? It's like a 1-for-4 or 1-for-3 or whatever, right? To get yourself back on track. So if you miss, let's say 5 workouts, that's actually 15 days or 20 days of no progress at the extremes, you know?
So you wonder why a guy comes back looking like a milk bag. I worked out.
Yeah, I worked out.
Did you, though?
Did you?
That's my freaking point.
I know.
Did you?
I know.
When you worked out, what did you do?
Yeah.
What did you do extra when you couldn't get to see Eric?
Yeah. The last thing I wanted to close on was the same conversation I just had last night, actually. It was actually interesting. The guys were asking me in that junior group. So they're right in this area. The one kid asked me, he's like, "Hey, like, be honest. Like, how fast has your life gone by since you were playing junior? And was after high school better than high school?" Those are the two questions. And I told him, for me personally, it was like, life after high school is way better than life during high school. The people who have, or who say that high school was better than after high school, they had no life. They peaked in high school. That's yeah, the issue. You know, if you're saying that high school is the best time of your life, it's not good. But to the question of how fast did time go, and I said, man, like, day to day, it doesn't feel like it's going, but then when it's gone, it feels like it went. So it's fast and slow, and that's something you said before. And my point of bringing that up is, we talked about that for a few minutes, and we talked about it with the guys in the context of doing those runs. I was saying to them, like, you guys, I know right now you feel like you have tomorrow. Like, you have the next time, you have the next workout, you have the next game, you have the next skate. And if you don't do this one, it's okay. And it is, it's okay. Except it runs out, and it runs out faster than you think, you know? And if you don't take advantage of your opportunities, even if you do take advantage of every opportunity, it's still very unlikely that you're going to get exactly what you had on paper as your goal. Very unlikely, even if you do everything right. So you need to have everything rolling in your favor. And if you just take time away from it, you're going to have the regret bug later, man. You're going to look back and be like, damn it. Like, I was right there knocking on the door and I just didn't finish it. Or I could have done this, and I know I could have done this, and I knew that I needed to do it at the time, and I still didn't do it. Shit. Because now your 4 years of junior is over and you got nothing. Or your 4 years of college is over and you got nothing. And that's what happens with most high-end hockey players that don't end up jumping to that pro level, or those guys that end up floating around the minor pro leagues for 10 years or whatever. It's just they didn't have that extra dial-in in those critical years that they needed it. So that's the advice that I want to leave with. If some of those kids end up listening to this, that 16 to 22 year old group, because some of them do, like, you don't always have the next workout, man. It goes by fast and then it's gone. And like, I'm looking back when that's going to be 9 years ago that I played junior. Like, that is insane when I say that out loud. And it's probably more insane when you say it for you.
Well, right? The time going fast and slow. Like, listen, I'm still best friends with some of my, like, Paulie DiPietro and I. We're tight, man. We talk all the time. We're best buddies. And when I talk about stuff, like, it's like it happened yesterday. Honest to God, like yesterday. And I'm 54, and that's 34 years that I'm a junior. 34 years, man. Come on. But it's like yesterday, and it's like, you know, Charlie just got something from his team about the camp. And the first thing is, camp is 11 weeks away. Like, everyone's going, so. But when you're in the middle of it, it's like you only have 11 weeks. So that window of opportunity to kick the freaking door in is 11 weeks. He's had more. But you have 11 weeks to do everything you need to do to prepare. And this is my point. It's only 11 weeks. So cottage, golf, all that stuff, you can do it. But, like, does it make sense? 11 weeks before you can go into your third OHL season and kick the freaking door down. Or 11 weeks to show up and say, yeah, summer was pretty good. Like, did this, and...
whatever. We'll see what happens.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Which a lot of people do, right?
Yeah.
It should be good. Mm-hmm. Instead of, like, doing everything in your power to make it good.
Yeah. Well, I had a good time with this one. That was a good talk. Good. I felt engaged. Hopefully you guys find it interesting to listen to. Just a little words of advice, I guess, by the way,
I'm always very, very aware of this, is, like, hindsight is the best. right? Hindsight is best, but I'm really using this as a perspective as like, so it's always good to look at being the guy that doesn't have to do the shit to say, yeah, just do this, this, and this. Like, I get that, but I also do it like this is my world. As a player, as a coach, as a dad, as a trainer, all that stuff. This is my world, and I just see the facts.
Well, it's like you said to when you said you were talking to Charlie in the last episode or two ago or whatever, and you were saying how you're like, dude, like as a dad, like I want to help you miss some mistakes that you might run into. And I think that's kind of the philosophy that I try to share, because I'm fully aware, like when I was their age, I wasn't 100% dialed in. Like I wasn't 100% doing everything I needed to be doing all the time.
But that's the point. If you can be 98% or 95%, it's a lot better than being 37.
If you can avoid one big mistake because you heard something in the podcast, then that's worth it to me. Because I remember being that age and dying for someone to tell me the answer for something, man. I remember. So hopefully that's helpful. So we'll leave it there. And then, I don't know, do something else next week. See ya. Okay.